Hey, Stephanie, this is Kim Fitzsimmons, and I'm just leaving you my message about what our RV means to us. The RV provides our family a space to be in the moment, to be present. We choose Uno and Sorry games over Facebook and Fortnite. We prefer conversations around a crackling campfire rather than text messaging and Snapchat. We provide ourselves the opportunity to sip hot coffee and watch a sunrise and see the campground come to life instead of morning rush hour traffic. We can be in the moment and not feel guilty about it. Two-thirds of the Fitzsimmons boys are in the last semesters of college. I know our family moments are numbered. And when we are in the RV, our family moments aren't forced. The RV provides us plenty of adventure, but I'm most thankful for an environment where every family member is in the moment, be it a grand adventure or just a rainy day.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are laying out everything you need to know about renting an RV. The RV rental market is hotter than ever, and more people are considering this an option when planning their camping adventures.
But why would you want to rent an RV? And what are your best rental options? And what do you need to know to have a great time in your rental? We've done the hard work for you, had some great rental adventures ourselves, and we're ready to take you to school.
You might think an RV rental is just for folks looking to plan a one-time cross-country trip, but we know that RV rentals could become a regular part of your family camping adventures. You are listening to episode number 215, The Ins and Outs of RV Rentals.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, the ins and outs of RV rentals, it's time for another great opening segment on activities that pair well with RVing and camping. So for this season, the opening segment, every time we're going to cover a different activity and kind of at kind of a beginner level, right, Stephanie? Just sort of introducing different hobbies that you can add to your RVing addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Because people love to try new things. We've just figured that out, right? RVers, campers, they seem to be somewhat adventurous people, I think. And they like to try new things. And we're always hearing about the new things people want to try. So we figured let's give people some tips for trying those new things out.
And last week we did hiking. This week we're going to talk about kayaking. And we're going to get more adventurous on every segment.
Yeah.
By episode 12, it's going to be about like free climbing Half Dome at Yosemite, you know, something like that.
And you're going to bring your personal recommendations to the table for that
Yeah,
one, huh?
You'll never catch me free climbing at Yosemite.
Me either.
But before we head into this segment, we want to thank all of our sponsors for the spring season of RVFTA. A huge thank you to Jayco, Thetford, Truma, and Cabela's, and also a huge thank you to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
We have all of our fingers and all of our toes crossed that spring is right around the corner. And so if that's the case, now is the time to be planning your 2019 Yogi Bear Jellystone Park experience. Now, for the last 5 years, our family has not gone through a camping season without at least one visit to a Jellystone. And that's because camping at a Jellystone is completely different than camping anywhere else.
Completely unique.
We can't, yeah, it's so unique.
And
we can't get that feeling anywhere else, that Yogi fix.
And it's not just the character experience, which is obviously a major reason why camping with Yogi is very unique, because Yogi's there and Boo Boo's there and Cindy and Ranger might be there as well. But it's also because of the off-the-hook activities and amenities and the nonstop fun you can have at a Yogi Bear campground.
Yeah, when we show up, our boys want to see where's the sign-up list for laser tag or for the go-kart racing or for Gaga Ball. What's the schedule like for the activities?
If you know, they miss a Gaga Ball tournament, they have serious FOMO.
Absolutely. Or just coloring with, you know, with cartoons in the morning.
And
which
that
is
would
something
be Wes, just to
Wes,
clarify. Because
right.
If Max and Theo hear this podcast in the car at some point, they will not be happy because they don't color anymore.
Now, you have to remember, it's not just a campground. It's a Jellystone. And now is the time to book. So go to jellystonepark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you.
All right, kayaking is something that we have done almost since the beginning as RV owners. It's been a bit more complicated than hiking. Hiking is quite simple to go out with your family and go hiking. Kayaking has the additional burden of having to have the gear or the equipment, and it's large. So this can create some conundrums and some problems, but it can also be incredibly fun to do at the campground.
Yeah, before we started RVing, we had actually done a couple of guided kayak tours in pre-baby days, and they were just magical to us. I think that those were some really, we just really fell in love right away and realized it was a great way to see, you know, a different area that we were traveling to. So once we had kids, we thought, oh, well, for the cost of a guided tour, right, one time going out with a guided tour, we could buy one of our own and have it. And of course, you could take turns going on it or whatever. When the kids were little, you'd go out and paddle, or then I'd go out and paddle. So, you know, it was just something that became, it felt doable to us. And so we introduced it into our regular RVing lifestyle.
We bought two kayaks. I think now we own six kayaks, including some little ones for the kids. And we used to put the two kayaks in the White Hawk, which was not a toy hauler, okay, but we would actually bring them in. I would put them in the RV. Now that we have the toy hauler, it's a lot easier to bring the kayaks. At the same time, what I have learned about kayaking is that when we bring them to a campground and the campground is right on the water, we always use them and love them. Mm-hmm. But when we bring them to a campground that is near the water and then you have to make the additional drive to get to the water and load the kayaks up again, we often don't use them.
Yeah, and I think that little reflection on your part, I think, leads us into our tips. If you're considering trying out kayaking or purchasing some kayaks, right? So my first tip goes hand in hand with what you're saying, and it's, you know, think about renting instead of buying, because if the campgrounds that we're staying at have rentals right there at the campground, we have taken advantage of that and used it before we were bringing our own along, and it was so much fun. Now, also, that nearby location, you might not want to load up kayaks and go on a kayak tour.
Feels like work.
Yeah, it's easier to just go to the kayak rental place, have fun while you want, and then come back. One of the things I think might be a good idea is for one season, say you're considering purchasing kayaks, for one season, say, let's rent them everywhere we go that we would want a kayak, and then see how much money we spend on that and see if it's worth it to get our own, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
I think it is a good tip, because you can really enjoy kayaking without owning them.
Yeah.
They tend to be pretty cheap rentals at the campground, mm-hmm. and the campgrounds that have them, it's not like a big money-making operation. It's usually just like there's a few kayaks there that they rent
and
for $15.
And state parks, too. And, you know, a lot of we've rented them at state parks, national parks. Sometimes canoes are in those places. You can just say, you know what, we're going to have a little rental budget, you know, for the whole season, and see how much we actually do it if we, you know, take advantage of it.
And if you're renting them all the time, well, then maybe it is actually time to buy some kayaks. And we do have some tips for also buying kayaks. And there's some interesting things here that might help you if you want to get into kayaking. Because if you buy a bunch of huge kayaks and you don't use them, they become a pain in the neck really quickly.
Yeah.
So what is your first tip here if you want to go out and buy kayaks for the family?
All right. Don't overspend if you decide to buy your own. We have the Ascend line right now from Bass Pro and Cabela's. And let me tell you something. They're affordable. And if you're like us and you are just having fun on your kayaks, they're just fine. Kayaks can get really fancy and really expensive. And for the typical person, you don't need all that fancy.
Well, it's the difference between spending like $400 to $500 or over $1,000.
Yeah.
And spending over $1,000 per kayak, if then you don't use them, is somewhat tragic to me, because that's just a big waste of money. But if you buy kayaks that are, say, $300, $400, $500 and you don't use them a ton, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And so my tip number three for buying a kayak is to consider inflatable ones. So we have never owned inflatable kayaks, but we've talked to quite a few RVers that are really happy with their Sea Eagles. They're like, because whenever we find out anybody has inflatables, we're like, how do you like it? And we question them and we interview them. And everybody says
people
they like them.
People seem to love their inflatables. In the full-time RVing community where space can be more at a premium for people in their RVs because they're living in them full-time, a lot of people go the route of getting inflatables. We do not own Sea Eagles. We are not sponsored by Sea Eagles, but we have heard nothing but good things about the Sea Eagle inflatable kayaks. I actually work with somebody that has had them for like 15 years and they're still running strong and still going really well. Pretty reasonably priced. At a higher end price point, we tried the Scout inflatable, and that's like a boat practically. Yeah. I mean, it packs into like a small, kind of small duffel bag size. But if you want something you can take your kids out on and maybe even the whole family, you might look at the Scout inflatables. And it just makes a lot of sense because a kayak takes up a lot of room either in your truck, on racks on top of your truck, or in your RV, like even in our toy hauler, like the kayaks take up a lot of room. Mm-hmm. They just do. And then also the thing to think about is they take up a lot of room when you're camping. Because for us, we bring them in the toy hauler, but then I've got to drag them out and put them on our site. And they tend to kind of like take up a lot of room at the site as well. So a lot of good reasons to go inflatable.
Now, a word to the wise about this. We've heard that some people are actually surprised, though, still at the size and weight of a deflated inflatable kayak. So it's something that if you are incredibly weight sensitive because of your RV or incredibly space sensitive, maybe you have a smaller camper, you might want to really look at the specs for how big it is when it is deflated. All right. Because I've just heard people say, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe how heavy it was still.
But typically speaking, they're probably going to be something easily carried by one person, where a real 12-foot kayak can become a two-person carry job very, very quickly. That being said, like I've never bought inflatable and I actually really like having kayaks. I'll be honest, we don't use them as much as I thought we would use them. I'm still very glad we have them. And we also do use them at home because we live by the water. So if you do live somewhere where you can use them at home as well, another reason to buy real kayaks.
All right. And our last tip, if you're thinking about getting into kayaking, is please be safe. Okay. It is really something where you want to wear you want to get life jackets before you get into any sort of water sports like this. You want to wear them. And you also want to talk to locals before putting in at an unfamiliar,
particularly if it's tidal, as yeah. opposed to a quiet water location on, you know, a pond or something like that. I mean, if you just take off kayaking around Acadia National Park, where so much of it's tidal, you could get into trouble.
Yes, you could either have trouble coming back in at a receding tide, or you could get stuck somewhere without any water for a few hours because things got too low. We've been in situations in maybe the White Mountains of New Hampshire, where they've said, don't go here, do go here, this is dangerous.
The locals
That's
will
not.
Know, drop yeah. off here. Like, yeah, the New Hampshire is a great example because we did a lot of really fun kayaking in places that were sort of off the grid, mm-hmm. not at the campground. And I needed local knowledge to know where to drop in and where to get out.
Yeah, it's a definitely a good thing. Talk to people.
Three great places for kayaking that we've been to. The Bar Harbor KOA right outside of Acadia National Park because it's on the water. It's just so easy to get the kayak out in the water. And I think that's like the pro tip here. If you really are going to use kayaks, it's going to be at campgrounds that are right on the water. Massey's Landing in Delaware is surrounded by water, and it's a really easy place to kayak. And also Silver Cove, that Highway West campground that we both loved so much in Washington State, is a terrific place for kayaking.
Yeah, so those are three of our favorite kayaking memories. And a few tips to help you get started or think about getting started, maybe your kayaking hobby in the upcoming camping season. Now, we are going to be back in a minute to kick off our first segment of the Ins and Outs of RV Rentals.
I'm really excited about this because we've had a lot of fun renting over the past few years.
All right, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for our first segment on the ins and outs of RV rentals. And in this segment, we just want to talk about reasons why you might actually want to rent an RV. And there really are a variety of compelling reasons why it might make sense, whether you own one currently or you don't own one. So we're going to work through that. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our really good friends at Bass Pro and Cabela's.
All right, Bass Pro and Cabela's has everything you need to get into the great outdoors with your family, and they are really excited about outfitting families for that outdoor adventure, which is why we love partnering them with them so much. We have personally experienced what it feels like to go into a Bass Pro or Cabela's store and have one of their team members or their outfitters take us through one of the sections, like the fishing section, and show us how to pick out gear. And they've never once, and let's be clear, they don't like know who we are, you know, when we go in and we're asking the guy for help on binoculars or something. And they always are respectful of our budget, and they're not trying to oversell us.
I think they take pride in finding the best affordable option
yes.
for you. But the real magic starts like when you ask somebody for help at a Bass Pro Shop or at Cabela's. They're often going to start talking to you about the products they use
mm-hmm.
because they are users of the products
yes.
that they sell in the store, which is not always the case, but it is at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. So like you said, when we have shopped for binoculars, when we have shopped for archery equipment, like things that we were not knowledgeable about or super comfortable about, the outfitters made us feel really comfortable. No intimidation at a place like a Bass Pro Shops or a Cabela's.
All right. So Cabela's and Bass Pro, they have everything that you need to get outfitted. So go to Cabela's.com and get your next camping adventure started today.
All right, so why don't we walk everyone through our own rental journey? Because at this point now, we've rented four different RVs. And we've also rented our own RV. That's another topic. We have rented RVs four different times for four different reasons to some degree. So how did we get started renting RVs? We were already RV owners. Why would you rent one?
Yeah, when we were purchasing our RV, interestingly enough, the rental market looked very different than it does nowadays. And it never even occurred to us to rent an RV prior to buying one. And one of the reasons for that is that the peer-to-peer RV rentals hadn't really exploded yet. And there was just those really big brand names for rentals. And to be honest, I don't think that they were marketing as much those days to the average American family. Many of those companies were really only marketing to people who visited America from other countries and would take these big road trips in these RVs. And it was just completely off our radar.
I don't even know that I knew what they were.
No.
And they were renting motorhomes.
Like yeah.
the concept of like renting a towable when we started 9 years ago did not really exist. Now you, to some degree, depending on where you live, you could rent just about any type of RV that's out there in the peer-to-peer world, for sure.
Yeah, so it took us a few years, and we already owned an RV at the time that we sort of started to dabble a little bit in RV rentals. And the reason why that happened for us was because we kind of had an aha moment. We realized as a family that we were saying that everything we loved was about the RV. We kind of like woke up one day and realized, well, we love our RV, but what we really love is the campground experience. And, you know, spoiler alert, this is what our next book is all about. This is what the book that is currently on deadline is about. It's about us learning that the campground was the magical place for us. And we loved the campground, whether we were in our personal RV, a cabin, or an RV rental.
Or a tent.
Right.
I mean, all of the above, right? So we have been quite liberated in the last few years about how we get to the campground. The first time we rented, and you've heard this before, is we wanted to go to Disney World in the winter. And I'm just not towing my RV from New Jersey to Florida in January. I can't get stuck in bad weather and call my boss and say, hey, boss, I'm stuck at Disney World.
Sorry, can't come home.
So the fly and rent thing just became very appealing. Like, we wanted to be at the campground. We wanted to be an RV. In an RV, I wanted to test out a Class A. All these reasons just made it very compelling to rent. And thus, we rented our first Class C rental, and it was a really cool experience.
Yeah. So there's a variety of reasons, even if you own an RV, that you might want to rent. And we just kind of want to dive into the five main reasons why you might consider an RV rental in this segment. So number one, you are considering buying an RV and you want to try the experience first. I say this at our RV shows all the time.
So, you know, I did the same thing at the Edison RV show. For the people that were just nervous about the whole experience and they weren't really sure if they wanted to make the plunge into RV ownership, I said, hey, go rent an RV for a weekend. Like, I mean, you might spend $500 on the rental for the weekend, but by the end of the weekend, you'll probably know if RV ownership is right for you or if it's not right for you. And I think that most people will find that it is right for them. But if you spend $500 and you realize you don't like it, well, you just saved a lot of money from buying an RV that you might not use.
Yes, a lot of people grow up camping, and that's why they decide to get an RV when they're an adult. But more and more people are entering the RV marketplace, having not had any camping experience or any RVing experience in their past at all. That's why the industry has exploded so much. It's those new people coming in. So if you're one of those people, you see people on Instagram, you've listened to our podcast, but you've never once gone RVing or even maybe stayed at a campground, just try a rental and see how it feels to you. Do you feel right? Does it feel like something that you could get, you know, really used to and have fun with?
Look at the money you're spending as research. Don't go, oh, this is kind of expensive to rent an RV and get a campsite. No, you're trying to make a wise decision about whether you should become an RV owner and spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So this could save you a lot of money, or it could just get you really excited about making the plunge and buying one.
Yeah, what's expensive is buying an RV that you don't like and you don't want to use?
Well, we live at the Jersey Shore, and a lot of people buy boats and they don't use them.
Yeah.
They sit in their front yard. So the second reason you might want to rent, say you're not sure about what type of RV you want. You're thinking, do I want a Class C or do I want a Class A, or maybe do I want a small Class B? There's the possibility, using particularly the peer-to-peer companies like Outdoorsy and RV Share, that you might be able to rent an RV similar.
Yes.
So we're talking similar.
We're not saying
not
the exact one. You could get lucky.
I mean, if you want to see what it's like to spend the weekend in a pop-up camper, you can go rent a pop-up camper. You need the vehicle to tow it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like thinking about a huge RV, that gets a bit more complicated because, again, there's going to be fewer 45-foot fifth wheels for rent than there are, you know, 18-foot travel trailers.
If you're jumping in to that place, then you're really in a whole nother level.
But honestly, if you go on Outdoorsy, you do see people renting their 40-foot toy haulers and stuff.
Yeah.
Just fewer of them. But particularly if you just want to try a Class B motorhome, a Class C motorhome, a Class A motorhome, or a somewhat smaller towable, and you have the vehicle to tow it, what a terrific way to just see if you're comfortable with that type of RV.
How about downsizing? If you're in a bigger RV and you're like, okay, we really want to downsize. Like, it was very educational for us to have a smaller RV when we went to Mount Rushmore. And that was part of why we were doing it. We were saying, what would it feel like to travel as a family of five in a small hybrid? That was important to us to kind of feel that.
We have a 33-foot toy hauler. We've both been talking about downsizing next time, and I don't think that we both really know how much we could downsize. And so renting I think it was like a 20-foot hybrid, mm-hmm. Was so instructional. Like, I think you realized, like, yeah, I want to downsize, but not that much.
Yeah, that was a little too close, especially as my boys are getting bigger and bigger. Now, number three, say you want a vacation with friends or family that already own an RV. We know a lot of people that are like jealous of our RV. They're like, oh, we want to come with you to the campground. We actually have friends that ask me, if there's a weekend that you're at Turkey Swamp, can we have Penny to rent, right? So that we can camp with you at Turkey Swamp. So really, that's another great way for you to kind of like test the lifestyle also. Because if your friend's RV and you're like, I think I would like this, it would be fun to camp with them, rent an RV and camp with them. It's so much fun.
And then somebody's there to help you.
Yes.
You know, that's a great, having a veteran, I mean, what a great way to do your first weekend of testing out the RV lifestyle is go with the more experienced friend. And then if you have some kind of technical issue or you don't know how to open up the pop-up camper, which I think is kind of like the reason why your friends want to come with us to some degree.
Yeah, they
want,
I can do everything.
They want to rent Penny with us there in case anything goes wrong, you know? So again, that's a great, and you get to have a fun weekend with your friends.
All right, number four. Say you love traveling by RV, but you're not sure you travel enough to justify the expense. I actually think this is a better math problem to address than most people do. I think that some people get their RV and then they're upset because they can't use it enough to make it feel like it was a value to them. Well, crunch the numbers before you buy.
It could get really interesting.
Say
you're the type of person that has 1 to 2 weeks vacation and a couple weekends.
Yeah, like maybe 2 spring weekends, 2 fall weekends.
And a week in the summer.
That's a nice lot of camping.
But at the same time, maybe you just rent something really fun and save money over purchasing one for the year. I mean, it's super appealing to me. I mean, we just, you know, we're 50 nights a year, 60 nights a year. We've gone to 100 nights a year. That would never make sense for us. But if it's you and you have limited vacation time, it would be cool to rent something different every time. Oh, let me rent a Class C this time.
Yeah.
Oh, let me rent a Class B this time and see how a really small RV feels.
You
Love
don't
it.
Have to do any of the maintenance. You don't have to worry about winterizing, de-winterizing. You take off other expenses from the table. You don't have to, oh, insurance, things like that are off the table, and you can still have the camping experiences.
I think that we have listeners that only rent. I feel like we've met people who are really into, mm-hmm. they love camping, they love RVing, but they rent every summer.
Storage, if you're in a place where you have to store your RV, think about saving that cost. I think for many people, it's an interesting math problem.
That's a great point. I mean, if you have the somewhat limited vacation time and you don't have like the big driveway mm-hmm. and you would have to spend, say, $2,000 a year on storage or something like that, or even over $1,000, the numbers get interesting.
I think so. All right. And number five, this is the last reason why you might want to rent an RV. You want to maximize vacation time and minimize traveling time by flying and renting. And this has been a big one for us. So we love the fact that now we realize if we have a 1 week window, or even a 2 week window, say, like, think about when we were traveling all the way to the Pacific Northwest. We still did not want to drive all the way out there and all the way back. So anytime you are looking anywhere in the country at a vacation, you can think, okay, what if I chop off all of the gas money, all of the traveling time, and just fly in and rent?
The cross-country RV trip is iconic in a lot of ways. And if that's really what you want to do and you can do, then do it. But I know so many people from the West Coast who dream of taking an RV trip to the East Coast, New England foliage or whatever. I know so many people from the East Coast, just like we were, that dream of that Pacific Northwest trip, but they do not have the time to pull it off. Flying in and renting can make a lot of sense. And the numbers also there can be surprising when you calculate how much you would spend in gas mm-hmm. driving across the whole country. A lot of us are getting 8 miles per gallon if we have, you know, depending on our setup as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that to wrap it up, right now we're at a place as a family where we love camping. So what we do is we decide where we want to go for any individual trip. We see how much time we have for that trip. And we think, is this a trip we're going to do in our family RV? Is it a trip that we're going to do in a cabin? Or is it a trip where we're going to rent our RV?
We're a triple threat.
We are. Yeah. And then we make our decision. And in the coming up year, we will have, well, in this year, in the year 2019, all three of those types, depending on the location.
I'm talking to my buddy Phil about a tent camping trip next summer. Yep. I mean, there's just some New York State parks that I'm not getting my 33-foot toy hauler in.
I know.
You know? And I want to experience
You know my
them.
Rule with the tent camping is just that we have to be willing to ditch it if the weather isn't right.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes tent... I love tent camping. The only thing that makes it miserable to me is miserable weather. An RV saves you from the miserable weather.
If your RV, because of its size or its limitations, or your schedule because of its limitations, if there's some aspect of your life that's keeping you from going to places you really want to go, just ask yourself, could I rent and get to this place? We didn't mention, we rented on our big trip to South Dakota. We did say that, but the reason why partly was we really wanted to camp at Badlands National Park in the national park. We wanted to camp at Custer State Park, and bringing the 33-foot toy hauler blocked us out of a lot of sites. And we just said, let's just rent a small RV and go stay exactly where we want to stay on this trip.
So it just, we realize it's an option. It's in the till for us. And maybe it will be for you, even if you already own your RV. All right. So now we are going to go into our next segment and we are going to talk about all the different RV rental options that are out there right now. And there's more than ever before.
I think this is going to be super informative for our listeners. We'll walk you through the rental landscape and help you make some decisions if you do want to rent. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our episode on the ins and outs of RV rentals. And now we're going to walk through the different types of places where you can rent an RV. And the landscape is probably more diverse than you think it is. And it's probably more localized to your region than you think it is. I mean, you may not know that there are rental places around you or peer-to-peer rentals around you, but I bet you anything there are. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. And if you rent the RV, just make sure it's stocked with the Aquasoft toilet paper, please.
I think that our rental this
Stocked with Thetford Aquasoft.
I think that one of the best things about our RV rental for South
Dakota was
it was stocked so well. We were very impressed. Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel better for over 50 years. And part of what makes it better is when you know that you are using the right products for your camper, that you're going to be taking care of all that stuff that you really don't want to think about while you're camping, like your black tanks and your gray tank and all that other stuff. You're going to be flushing the right toilet paper down so that you don't get the stinkies, you don't get the clogs, you don't spend a beautiful day at a beach campground worrying about your tank instead of enjoying the RV moment, right? That's what we want to avoid here.
No one wants to be worried about the black tank on vacation.
Right. And I think that's what Thetford wants to do, is make sure that all of your systems are working so you're not thinking about them. You're thinking about what you should be, right?
Let Thetford worry about the bad odors.
Right. Let people like Paula worry about all of that stuff. Paula, the mad scientist at Thetford, who is kind enough to give us all sorts of resources. She's been on our podcast, on that Potty Talk podcast, talking about everything we need to know about our tanks. She gave us a great PDF about safe products to use for different things over at rvfta.com/resources. So they really do want to partner with us to make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep your tanks in tip-top shape. Go to Thetford.com to see everything they got for your RV.
They're number one and number two. Okay, let's start by walking through the traditional RV rental companies that have been around for a while. And there are three of them. There's Cruise America, Road Bear, and El Monte. And all three of those companies, their fleets are largely made up of Class C motorhomes. They may have some Class A options as well. Cruise America even does a truck camper option, which is really cool. That might not be in your area. But those are the companies that are going to sort of function and operate much like a car rental company are going to function and operate. They're going to have the well-built-out websites, the professional service, the support. You know you're going to have the insurance and the roadside assistance. There's no element of risk to this, right?
Yeah, they also have rigs often, like Cruise America, rigs that are specifically designed for people who don't know what they're doing. And that's actually very helpful. So they don't have slides, right, on the Cruise America Class Cs. And that's helpful because you don't have to learn how to operate the slide, or you can't break the slide or something like this. You know, they kind of almost strip them down a little bit. And while for us, that might be like, oh, it's not as fancy as the, you know, rental we've used.
I would not say any of them are doing luxurious rentals,
right,
from what I understand.
I think that they're very stripped down and streamlined. The Cruise America has 120 locations all over the country. So you're really going to be able to find one almost no matter where you want to go.
And if you rent a motorhome or Class A from Cruise America, people will be able to find you because they are plastered with the company's
That's
logo.
That's true.
And we've heard from a lot of people, like, I don't want to rent from Cruise America because I want to take cool pictures.
It feels
uncool. I don't want to feel like I'm driving a billboard around. And I think that El Monte also, their RVs are kind of like that. I don't know that Road Bear as much like plasters the huge logos.
They're very subtle. Sometimes I don't see that it's a Road Bear until I look closely at like a smaller sticker. And then I go, oh, that's a Road Bear. Now, Road Bear only has 7 locations, but they're located outside of really busy American
airports. Like right
out
of Newark Airport. It's so weird. When we drive home from Newark Airport, we drive past the parking lot and we see the Class C's sitting there at Road Bear.
Yeah, Denver, Los Angeles. So a lot of those places that you might want to start a big adventure, they're going to be there. And you're going to receive a lot of support in planning from them. So if you feel like you don't even know where to start with like planning your RV trip, Road Bear, I think, offers that concierge service in that way.
And just to emphasize a point Stephanie made, I don't want to blow past this because it was such a good point, is that the Class C's they're renting are easy to drive. They really are. Like, they're not renting 44-foot Class A's that are going to take a little more expertise to drive safely. Most people are going to get into one of these rentals, and it's going to feel like driving that U-Haul
van. It feels exactly like a U-Haul.
That you rented, you know, when you moved from your last house. And, like, when I rented the Class C, I stepped in, and I was like, man, this is not that much different than my F-250. It really isn't. And those Class Cs, I mean, the ones I've been in have better sight lines than I thought they would have, and I overall felt very safe and comfortable driving one, as did you. You also drove the Class C rental.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to the peer-to-peer RV options that are out there. So the two biggest ones right now are Outdoorsy and RV Share. And we actually recommend both of these. We've personally used Outdoorsy both for our rental, to rent out Penny and to rent an RV for ourselves. So we know the ins and outs of that experience. And they had the first insurance policy and they did the background checks and everything. We really liked their comprehensive behind the scenes. But as far as I know, RV Share has jumped into the insurance game as well, and now they're providing insurance for people.
Look at both and see what's available in your area. I think that they've both done a good job at making it feel very official and safe and formal, where peer-to-peer rentals in the RV world used to feel like the Wild West. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this stranger
like on
I'm
Craigslist
renting from?
Or something. Yeah, you're like, what's
but
going
now
on
you're
going
to see reviews of the person renting. You're going to see what they're stocking the RV with. It almost feels like you're renting from a very professional company, which at this point, both of these companies are.
You can message them without exchanging telephone information, you know, and plus all of your payment information is going through these very established companies. So a private person I can assure you of this because I've done the payment through Outdoorsy. I'm not seeing the credit card or payment information for any of the people that have rented Penny. I just get, after the whole thing goes down, I get the money put into like my PayPal account or my bank account. So it really is a safe and very streamlined way of renting.
An aspect in which it's a lot more fun than the traditional Cruise America El Monte Road Bear, and that could be great too. I'm not denigrating that experience. But with Outdoorsy or RV Share, like just the variety of RVs gets kind of wild and wacky. Like, I always think, like, I would love to rent a Class B with you and go do a fun romantic weekend. God knows if we'll ever get to do it. But I'm probably going, if we did that, it would be through Outdoorsy or RV Share. It'd be peer-to-peer. There's just more variety of RVs that are for rent.
Absolutely. And there is a variety of locations. So maybe you're not flying into a major airport. Maybe you just want to see if there's somebody who's renting in the town next to you, right? Because you want to go to a campground and you want to go pick up the RV 10 minutes from where you are. And a lot of those peer-to-peer rental places, you're going to be able to find something close to you. I know there's things all over our county, you know, here in New Jersey.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many options.
Go to like Outdoorsy and put in your state or your county or your town. And I think you'll be quite surprised at the number of people that are renting their RVs right in your area. And there might just be some cool, fun things to check out.
Right. Another option is RV rental outfitters. So there's these smaller independent companies, and we actually have friends that have done this. usually outside of major national parks like Yellowstone or Yosemite or
Disney.
Right. You're going to have these companies that will put together a whole rental package for you. Like, we have friends that rented from a company outside of Yellowstone, and it was a truck and a pop-up camper. And they had a whole pop-up camper adventure at Yellowstone that actually led them to get their own pop-up camper later on.
And there's some really cool advantages to this because, like, for a lot of these businesses, they specialize in that area. So, like, we just rented from Meacham's right outside of Disney World, and, like, they just have it wired. They have Fort Wilderness wired. They know exactly what they're doing, and they bring that element of expertise to the rental. And we have a coupon code now if you want to rent from Meacham's outside of Fort Wilderness, which is RVFTA19.
Yeah.
You'll get $50 off your Fort Wilderness rental, which is about 8 hours at Fort Wilderness.
Jeremy did the math on that one. Now, and Meacham's, like, offers you a free golf cart if you pay in full. Like, they know the things that are nice about that campground. Like, oh, you need a golf cart at Disney, so we'll throw that in if you do this. And the same is true outside of these national parks. Some of them will offer you, say, an iPad loaded up with the GPS, like, directions for all of the major sites in the park. It can be, oftentimes it's more expensive, not all the time, but oftentimes it's more expensive to go through these, like, local outfitters, but the experience can feel very personalized.
And some areas are hard to get wired. I mean, let's face it, like, Disney's hard to figure out how everything works. I'm sure Yellowstone's very hard to figure out how things work. If you can get a local outfitter, they're going to handle and take away a lot of the potential problems because they have got everything down.
All right. Our last place to look if you're considering an RV rental is to look at local dealerships. Now, I don't know what the percentage is. We've never actually tried to look up what the numbers are on this. But, like, some dealerships do rentals and some don't.
Frankly, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
It doesn't. We can't figure it out.
Like, huge dealerships you would think would do rentals. It's just, like, I think some of them have seen a business opportunity with the explosion of interest in RVing. And so some of them are going, hey, there's money to be made here. Let's do it. And then others are like,
I don't need the trouble.
I don't want to bother. You know, it takes me away from my primary game, which is selling.
So we
just
done,
check your local dealership.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Lazy Days in Tampa is a terrific place, or any Lazy Days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of the Lazy, I believe all of them.
I think
or
so.
Most
now.
Of them.
Colorado,
now offer rentals.
Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. Tucson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're a good option. And there might be other RV dealerships, and they're going to have good expertise too. Like, you're not going to get into an RV and it's going to break down 10 minutes. I mean, they've made sure everything's ready to go for you.
Yeah. And the thing is that we have found that the dealer rentals tend to be less well stocked in general. So when you get into a rental that is, like, the person is doing the rental business, those things are so well stocked. Meacham's is a great example of this. I couldn't find one thing that I wanted.
Meacham's should be running workshops on, like, how to rent RVs. Other dealers should, like, fly in and see how they do it, and Meacham should charge them money.
But I feel that dealers don't necessarily have that hospitality, customer service view.
Lazy Days had the good options to get the extras that you would need
linens,
in terms of the linens,
kitchen
in terms of
kit,
all that stuff too.
Yeah.
The ultimate test, are there coffee filters with the coffee machine?
Yes.
That's my new thing. Like, if you're going to give me a coffee machine but not filters, that's not perfect.
I always look for a sponge right away. And
see, I don't, because, like, I don't. What's a sponge?
What
Who needs a sponge?
Do? I got to go and buy a sponge to wash the dishes that are in the cabinet? No, I don't think so. All right. So those are some places to look if you want to rent RV, and maybe some reasons why you might look at them as different places. We are going to come back. And for our third segment, we're going to talk about important reminders for renting an RV. Things that we've learned. Of course, we always love to learn things the hard way, doing it ourselves, and then pass along the information to you. So stay
tuned.
We
do dumb stuff so you don't have to.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three of the ins and outs of RV rentals. And in this segment, we're going to give you some important reminders about renting an RV and just some things that you need to think about. I mean, say you picked the place you're going to rent from segment two. Now this is the next step. I mean, what are some things you need to think about to make sure you have a really great trip? But before we do that, we do have a sponsored message from our friends at Truma, who make that brilliant AquaGo system, which provides endless hot water.
Endless, constant hot water.
And the temperature just locks in.
The temperature remains constant.
Doesn't fluctuate. It's not like all of a sudden you're chilly or you're getting... When we had the rental at Fort Wilderness, I forgot how hard it is to get the temperature right in the old with the old-fashioned water heaters.
Here, fast.
It gets hot fast.
Can't go back, okay? Truma has been the leading European supplier for RV accessories for over 70 years. Not surprising. We are very glad that they decided to come on over to America with the fantastic AquaGo.
Came to America. The Stones came to America. Thank God Truma did.
And Truma did. They are offering you truly instant, constant, and endless hot water. We've spent a year with our AquaGo in the toy hauler, and it's hard for us to remember what it's like to RV without it until we go and we rent an RV and we remember, oh, it's such a sad day when you don't have your AquaGo. So, you know, the AquaGo can replace any existing 6 to 16 gallon RV water heater. It can be decalcified. This year, we easily winterized it on RV. And if you missed our interview with Billy DiDonato back in episode number 199, he really explained the entire system, the science behind it, and why it's revolutionary and different than any other endless hot water system
when
out there.
When it comes to endless hot water, Billy DiDonato is sort of like the poet laureate of endless hot water.
The poet laureate from Boston. Billy from Boston. All right. Go to Truma.com to learn more about the AquaGo.
All right. So just some reminders, some important things to think about after you've kind of chosen a rental or while you're in the process of choosing a rental to make sure that you have a great experience. And the first one is to be prepared for a steep learning curve if you're not already an RV owner. If you're already an RV owner, renting is quite easy, frankly. Mm-hmm. But if you're not an RV owner, it isn't renting a car. You are renting a house on wheels and you're going to have to learn how to use it.
Right. And, you know, and it's worth it because, you know, you can do it over and over and over again, right? You put in that steep learning curve on your first rental. And then after that, it's going to be much easier. Just like for us, it was no big deal when we rented the hybrid to figure everything out because we understood hot water heaters and we understood, you know, hookups and
when
we understood
dumping
the tanks.
When I had some trouble with the sway bars, I had some experience with sway bars and I fixed the problem.
Right. So it really does get easier, but just know that that first rental experience is not going to be indicative of what they're all going to be like. And I would also say that maybe it would be good to go with one of the more traditional companies for your first rental, perhaps, because they do give all of that newbie support. Just an idea.
And in the peer-to-peer market, you might have somebody renting who's really good at educating you, but you might not.
Right. Okay. Read the reviews, maybe.
Yeah. Second tip. It's not cheaper to rent an RV than it is to stay in a hotel room when you combine the fact that you have to book a campground and you have to pay the rental fees. So we never want to kind of get somebody to get the impression that it's like a bargain or a great, you know, affordable way to do a vacation. It often tends to end up being the price of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in that fact-finding stage, deciding if you want a Class C or a Class A, or just deciding if you want to become an RV owner, it's worth the investment up front.
Or if you're an experienced RVer like we are, we understand that this is a lifestyle choice, not a budget choice all the time. If we're choosing to rent an RV, it's because we know we get the benefit of having that RV kitchen, of having that outdoor space at the campground, the picnic table, being able to grill for our kids, maybe make them pancakes for breakfast. You can't do that in a hotel room. And we just understand that because we have so much experience. So we know the additional benefits that come along with paying that price.
Yeah. I mean, hotel rooms are basically like prison cells. I mean, if you really think about it.
Okay, let's not exaggerate and lose our credibility.
Third tip is, not with our audience, I think they all get what I'm saying. Third tip is there's just a wide variety of price points for rentals, particularly once you're looking into the peer-to-peer universe. If you're looking at the traditional rental companies like El Monte, Road Bear, and Cruise America, you're probably going to see a lot of the same prices, actually. But when it comes to peer-to-peer, you could rent Penny the pop-up camper for $50 a $50 a night,
yeah.
Or you could rent somebody's really fancy motorhome for $350 a night. So just be prepared for that.
And be an educated consumer. Don't just go for price, right? I get requests all the time for Penny that I turn down because I'm just like, this person doesn't know what they're asking for. Like somebody,
like the person that wanted to rent Penny to take her cross country.
Yeah. Okay.
That was
kind
of bizarre.
Example. And it's like, well, no, that's not. And that person was thinking it was going to save them money from rent, from staying in hotels. That's exactly what it said in the email. Like, oh, I want to save money and this would be a great idea. This isn't going to save you money. You're going to have a $50 a night pop-up camper. Plus you're going to have to get campsites, you know, stay at the Motel 6. You'll be fine. And then another person emailed me and was like, oh, I'm having a graduation party and I want to put some people up in this in my driveway. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like nobody wants to stay in Penny.
Imagine
in
that.
Driveway.
The in-laws come over and you're like, yeah, we rented you a pop-up for 50.
The pop-up.
It's 25-year-old pop-up for 50 bucks a night.
And you're going to sit in the driveway in a suburban neighborhood, like no, with no bathroom. Like I turned that down because they're just not thinking clearly about what they're getting.
Now, next tip, you want to really pay attention and think clearly about what is included in your rental. So you need to check if there's going to be linens. You need to check if there's going to be a coffee maker or you need to bring the coffee maker. And if you're renting peer-to-peer, you need to ask the person you're renting from what is included in the rental. That should be listed on Outdoorsy or RV Share, but it may not be.
I said this with our cabin episode too, and it's true of the rental. I don't think this is necessarily like a duh tip because I know the first time we rented a pop-up, RV, even though I thought that I was prepared with their list, there were still things that I was like, oh, that's not included in the rental, like paper towels, you know, in that first rental. Now, after that, I was much more thorough in thinking through what I needed to pack and asking them specifically what they had. So there's a learning curve on that. And so just learn from our mistakes and think about the things that maybe when you were tent camping, you kept in your bins, like I said, dish soap and a sponge or
a lighter for the stove if you need.
Yes, a lighter.
Because those things
can
be frustrated if you don't have them.
Nobody wants to go on their vacation to like the dollar store or to the box store and like get a bunch of random little knickknacks.
Yeah, those Saturday
can
morning
openers.
Trips to Walmart can kind of be a buzzkill on a camping trip.
Right, so definitely ask.
Next tip, and this particularly applies to the peer-to-peer rental places like Outdoorsy and RV Share, read the reviews carefully. People that rent these RVs can leave reviews. I'm going to just tell you personally, if there were no reviews on somebody's RV rental on Outdoorsy or RV Share, I don't think I'd rent.
Well,
I mean, I am looking for it. No, I really think it's important.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be the first person to rent from an inexperienced owner. And I think that if there are just you're not looking for 20 reviews.
Yeah.
But if there are a couple satisfactory reviews, I'd start to feel comfortable really fast.
Yeah. And I think that's important because some people just aren't doing volume. You know, it's not like TripAdvisor people. Like some people aren't doing the volume of rentals to get that many reviews.
Yeah. Stephanie says yes to one out of every 100 people that ask to rent Penny the pop-up.
That's
camper.
Probably
she's very particular with her $1,000 pop-up camper.
Very picky. But seriously, some people, if they rent their RV out 3 or 4 times a year, they're not going to have that many rentals reviews. So if you see a few positive specific reviews,
if I saw one, I'd be 100 times happier than if I didn't see any. And if there's only bad reviews, look elsewhere.
All right. Now, number 6, look for detailed information about insurance and roadside assistance. This is why we really suggest not going privately. In fact, when people ask in our Facebook group quite often for advice about this, I always say, even if you know somebody, I have made my friends go through Outdoorsy to rent Penny. And the reason why I do that isn't because I am trying to scam my friends. It's to protect everybody involved. I don't want anything to go wrong in our friendship because something happens to the pop-up and it's not covered and my friend maybe can't afford to give me the value for it. I want Outdoorsy to cover that and it to all be taken care of and then protect our friendship that way, right?
More professional way to do it. And the peer-to-peer places really do have this together. I mean, they're pretty sharp in that sense. Now, you also need to make sure that the RV is pet-friendly if you have pets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have pets, you want to make sure that it's not an RV that allows pets because maybe you have an allergy or something right. like that. Now, that should be listed on Outdoorsy and RV Share. One thing I will mention is that the hybrid camper we rented to take to South Dakota said no pets allowed. We messaged the owner very nicely, offered a little bit of extra money. She kindly said yes and didn't even take the extra money. So
now, the reason, though, that we messaged her and asked was because we knew that Maggie is a great RVing dog. Maggie is used to RVs. She has zero anxiety in an RV. So if your dog has never RVed before, I highly recommend you do not test out that, you know, proposition in a rental RV. You don't want your dog to, in an anxiety attack or something, to ruin something in the RV. Now, places like Meacham's that we talked about before, they have both pet-friendly rigs and non-pet-friendly rigs. Like, we rented a non-pet friendly one because we were in Florida without Maggie.
And frankly, I preferred a not pet friendly one, even though I'm a dog owner, just because
Right. There were no animals in it, but it's great to know that there are options for pets out there. If you want to have this RV experience with your pet, it's possible to find them. Absolutely.
All right, guys, we are launching the spring season of RVFTA. This is the second of 12 new episodes, and we are operating based around a theme for the spring season. And that theme is living your best life at the campground. And we're going to approach that in a wide variety of ways. I mean, this episode, like how to rent an RV, really fits into that concept for us, like living your best life. You may really have an amazing experience renting, even if you're currently an owner. So think about it.
We've been thinking big, right? Like, stop limiting yourself. Stop saying this is how we do things or this is what works, and just start thinking about what really makes you happy, what really works for your family. That's the overarching theme.
So we hope that you join us as we go on this journey and try to figure out how to live our best lives at the campground. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a second with the RVFTA News Roundup. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for the RVFTA News Roundup, in which we tell you about all the interesting and exciting things we're doing, mostly RV shows lately, but more than that. And this segment is sponsored by our good friends at Jayco.
Whether you're ready for adventure or just need some extra storage space, Jayco's new 2019 Talon Platinum Toy Hauler has something for everyone. This feature-packed toy hauler offers farmhouse white hardwood cabinetry, J-Smart lighting, stainless steel appliances, and an all-around residential feel. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, Jeremy's got some RV shows coming up. He's going to be in Atlantic City this weekend.
Yes,
if you're listening to this episode,
the 15th, 16th, 17th, yeah,
I'll be in Atlantic City, and I won't go gambling with you after. Don't invite me over for blackjack. I don't gamble.
He doesn't gamble.
I used
anymore.
To, but I don't.
He stopped himself. He'd rather go camping. That's where he spends his money. And then after that, you're passing off the baton. You've been that'll be your third RV
I'm
show in a
off
row.
The clicker, the yeah, digital,
the digital clicker to me, and then I have a few in a row there. I'm going to be in Overland Park near Kansas City. I'm going to be in Virginia Beach and Springfield, Illinois. So go over to rvfta.com. You can look on our events calendar and see the dates for when we're going to be where. Or I also pinned a post to the top of our Facebook
group. It's like going on tour. I feel like we need an opening act.
Oh.
Like maybe Wes could come and
No. That's the whole point. No kids allowed.
Maybe Max and Theo could come and do a basketball clinic.
We've done events with our kids, and our boys, I have to say, are very good at these things, but it's still so hard.
It's tough.
And they like to do it. They're like, oh, you're going to the open
they
house
get mad
without
when we
us?
Don't take them to RV shows.
Oh, yeah. They're like, you're going without us? And I'm
no,
like,
they love a good RV show.
But, you know, it's managing them. And
can
it's
I make
very
a prediction?
Hard.
I think one of them might end up working in the RV industry. And I want to remind you of something. Remember when we did the Colorado RV show and we were actually the opening act for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
They were the
stars. Like, we did the seminars and then they came on and they did their act.
Yeah, that was like our second RV show ever.
We got
something.
All kinds of selfies with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And I got selfies with the Teenage. I mean, they were wildly popular.
I didn't feel like I was slumming it open for them either. I felt kind of honored.
No, I mean, it was a big deal. And when I
think one of them bought an RV.
Really, were they into it?
I think Donatello got a Class B.
All right. Now, don't forget to check out the Campground Gourmet, which is available on Amazon.com. You can download the digital version of this for $9.99 right now. We're about to put it on special for some more RV show weekends, so you can try to get that sale if you're taking a look over on Amazon.com for the countdown deal.
Just keep refreshing the page.
Yes, and you'll get the countdown deal. But this is really, there's over 100 simple and delicious meals for the campground from Kate Dunbar. You can make them at home. You can make them when you're having guests over at your home this winter, this spring. They're great meals, just classic, that can be done in both places. And we also, you know, some people are like, is there going to be a hard copy? But the nice thing about the digital is that it's on your phone. You don't need a Kindle for it. You can have the Kindle app on your phone and you can just pull it up at the campground. You don't need to be lugging around a hard copy. And it kind of goes with the whole philosophy of travel. You know, you've always got it at your fingertips.
I think you put your finger on the best part about this book. These are recipes that are great at the campground, but also work easily at home, where a lot of books in that camp cooking category are really campground specific.
Yeah.
These work in either place.
Well, and on a variety of different cooking devices. Like, Kate really tries to say, this is a recipe that can be done over the campfire or on a cook stove or in your RV, you know, on the cooktop in your RV. There's nothing precious about this book. We're not saying, the only way to do cooking is over an outdoor fire.
You know, the proof is in the pudding, and lots of people in RVFTA, the group, post about how they actually are using the recipes.
Yeah.
Like, this cookbook's being used.
And even, like, the mug cakes are so much fun. And, you know what you use for those? The microwave in your RV, like, for the mug cakes. We're not precious around here. It's all about fun and delicious stuff.
And you can check out more about Kate and the Campground Gourmet. She's on Instagram now as the Campground Gourmet. And she also just launched a new website, the Campground Gourmet. So she is busy, busy, busy.
All right, everybody. Keep calling into our voicemail line to tell us your why you RV, what your family loves about the campground. Leave us those messages and we'll keep playing them at the beginning of our shows. And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.